The New Hampshire Democratic primary resulted in a few surprises and shocks. The excessively poor performance by Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren were countered by the literally last-minute success of Amy Klobuchar. Additional asides are how Bernie Sanders gained fewer votes than in 2016, while on the Republican side of the night, President Trump received far more. While we talk about politics, especially at the presidential level, with a two-sided political identity view, there's an increasing third side of the equation known as the independents. That voter group actually makes up the largest part of the voting population in several states, including here in New Jersey. What are they looking for in a candidate, and who are they looking at least at this point in time? With us now to talk about this is the founder of the Welcome Party, Liam Kerr. Thanks for being here today, Liam.
Hey, great to be with you.
TheWelcomeParty.org. Learn more about this mission that Liam is here to talk about and see maybe how it fits the situation you were in as far as a political person. That hopefully you are, since you listen to the show, you probably are anyway. Let's start off with the obvious. What is the mission statement of the Welcome Party?
Yeah, so we have been reaching out to the voters that, you know, we've been talking about but not talking with. And so we've done engagement with the independent voters who, you know, often vote in November and often actually make the difference in the general election. But it doesn't make sense for any individual campaign to go out and talk to them because they have to talk to the people they know will vote and try to persuade them in the primary. And that really distorts the conversation oftentimes. And I think we saw that early in the Democratic primary. So in addition to doing this direct outreach to independent voters, we advocate for a big tent Democratic Party that's welcoming to more people, including independents.
Is that where, or maybe why, Amy Klobuchar fit in so well in a place like New Hampshire? If you think back of a couple of things she said revolving around the campaign, the Friday debate when the question was, anyone on the stage have a problem with a socialist in the White House? And she was the only one to raise her hand. Before that, she had been talking about how there's room in the Democratic Party for pro-life people.
Sure. So she did two things incredibly well. She first reached out, and second, she stood out. So, you know, she reached out with a broad message of, we are going to win over voters in the middle. We are going to be a big tent party without litmus tests. And we're going to do that in a way that brings people in the way she did in her campaigns in Minnesota. So she has a track record of doing that. And she did the literal outreach with her message. The second big thing you already mentioned, she stood out. She differentiated herself. She literally raised her hand. So there was a question that, you know, should be a softball for anybody hoping to win a majority in this country, which is, you know, are you troubled by the prospect of something that, you know, the vast majority of independents are turned off by? And she was the only one to raise her hand. And that doesn't mean you have to disagree with some of the motivations of folks on the far left or even share some of their goals. But she made it very clear that it is troubling, as it is to many independents. And the combination of those two things, reaching out and standing out, you know, propelled her to, you know, the biggest surprise of the night on Tuesday.
Was it really such a surprise? Because when you think of the state that she represents and where she has won elections in and served in her 9-to-5 career, Minnesota really is a state of the independent voter.
Yeah. So, you know, practice at it is very important. So you saw when Senator Obama in 2008, you know, was able to, you know, make a surprising showing and, several of the early primary states. A lot of that was attributed to the work he had to do in downstate Illinois, going to voters who were outside of his base in Chicago, and learning how to reach across the aisle. And for Democrats, you know, in 2018, winning often meant, you know, going to a place where you lost by 50 points last time and only losing by 25. You know, but those votes count and those voters count, and they matter. And, you know, like you said, it's good that the Senator Klobuchar has had practice at it. And the Democratic nominee certainly is going to need practice at it to win in November.
Well, 2016 was a lesson for that philosophy because Donald Trump did a lot of what Hillary Clinton should have done but didn't do. Going to states which would be assumed to be written off, like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and the closest Hillary got to those states, by and large, were flying over them on the way to New York and California.
So one challenge for Democrats is that so many of the people who make the decisions in the party are based in a few coastal states, as you alluded to. And you end up in a geographic bubble. You end up in especially a social media bubble. And you're only really talking to other people who live in deep blue states where many policy positions are just assumed. And one thing that Democrats in that bubble have really been slow to understand, other than, you know, in those 2018 districts where Democrats won back the House, is that voters, the median voter, views Trump as far more moderate than the average Republican. So for an independent who spent their life, or, you know, at least a couple election cycles in the middle, you know, what they were hearing from Donald Trump, what they may have been projecting on a Donald Trump, was a lot more moderation than anyone in the Democratic bubble could have, you know, could have understood. And so breaking out of that, reaching out, understanding that, is going to be a big key to win in November.
Or Liam Kerr, who is the founder of the Welcome Party. TheWelcomeParty.org is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Going into the Democratic primary cycle, Amy Klobuchar is basically in the spot right now, maybe a notch or two down from as far as standings are concerned, but in the spot right now that had been reserved for Joe Biden. Why, at least at this point, has it not worked out for Biden?
Yeah, the Biden issue for Democratic primary voters, I think, has been one that, you know, campaigns will talk a lot about. You know, we're only two states in, and so there's still an opportunity for the vice president to, you know, make a big comeback. He has long talked, and pundits have long agreed that, you know, South Carolina is his firewall, and getting to those southern states is really what he needs to do. And the first two states were not really well suited to the demographics that were propping him up in the polls. And so I think we're going to have to find out in the next couple states, and particularly in South Carolina.
Which is where the Welcome Party is now open for business, according to your website. We are going to go to work as you did in New Hampshire. What are the steps that your organization takes once you plant your tent, open up your tent down in this case, South Carolina?
Yeah, so one of the first things is people. We need people who are, you know, leading Democrats who also know we need a big tent party. We need a big tent message, and that is needed. And so in both New Hampshire and South Carolina, you know, we found people who are in purple districts, who maybe won red to blue districts, or who, you know, have a vision for the Democratic Party in their state where they will get to win a majority. And so actually we have the state director from former candidate Beto O'Rourke, who's a real dynamic leader in the state, who's running our operations in South Carolina. And that's, you know, one of the most important things is having somebody who can credibly, you know, reach out with that message and build that vision. And then we have a dozen college and recent college grads that are bringing that energy, that are going out, that are talking to voters. And then we look at the voter file. So in New Hampshire, you know, we broke down the electorate into a chunk that really are these people who are talked about but not talked with, not talked to, not heard from. These are people who vote in the registered independents. They vote in general elections, but they don't vote in primaries. And so by the end of the time that we were in New Hampshire, 34% of those voters who had never voted in a primary before said they were going to vote in the Democratic primary.
Is the reason why the independent voter is not spent time with is because if you look at the far left, far right, you pretty much know where that voter is going to be. You can placate them, easily appease them, and just firm them up. That's your foundation. Whatever you get in the middle is, it'll be a great surprise when the votes are counted. Are there so many variables among the independent voter? What's a good? Here's a radio analogy. There's a reason why you don't hear Elvis Presley on commercial radio anymore. The person who would listen to Elvis is too old and too brand loyal, and it would take too much of an effort for an advertiser to break that brand loyalty and bring them into their product, whether it's a car, a store, whatever the case may be. Is that a similar case with the independent voter right now? It takes too much time to work them.
Well, so it's really about the way the process works. I love that analogy, and I love the king. I don't know if I'm old enough to be that brand loyal yet, but the individual campaigns are making the decision. There's no kind of person behind the curtain directing everything. So what you have is you have five or six campaigns that need to win a primary. Right? They're not necessarily thinking about the general, especially in a crowded field like this. And so they need to go get a plurality, not a majority. So you saw Bernie Sanders won with 25% in New Hampshire. Now, it doesn't really make sense to reach out to people who may not vote if you know you can just get a quarter of the people who usually vote to come to your side. And so it's really just how the system is set up. And then what happens is after the primary, people end up scrambling to bring those independents in. And our perspective is we need to bring them in earlier in the process. Everyone's talking about electability. Who can beat Trump? The best way to do it is to bring those voters into the primary.
It is an interesting concept. And what I think what the Welcome Party does, whether or not you're on the right, in the left, or in the middle, which is obviously the target of the Welcome Party, it brings about some very interesting points I think both parties really have to think about, learn more about their work. And if you're listening on the stream in South Carolina, get involved. And I'm sure, Liam, you'll be setting up your tents in the states as the progression goes forward in the Democratic primaries. The Welcome Party .org is your starting point. We've been joined by the founder of the Welcome Party, Liam Kerr. Liam, thanks for interesting insight into the political process that more candidates, I hope, will start paying attention to. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.